Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Craft of the Draft podcast, and we're back for our second episode. And if you've seen episode one, you know what to expect. We're looking through the top five players from each big country club, as usual. I'm your co-host, Nathan Seppi, in a nice studio, as usual, but from Radio Carrum, so we appreciate their support and letting us use this really nice facility. Joined by my co-host, Jonty Ralsmith. Jonty, a lot going on in the country region, and it's good to see them thriving as usual.
Good to see them thriving as usual, and yeah, February, footy's starting to heat up, pracky matches are starting to get played, so it's a really exciting time of year. Who's going to be the players that are going to really announce themselves early in the season, who are going to be the players from the AFL Academy that are going to take the next step, and who are going to be the Vic Country Summer Training Hub players that we're going to see have a really strong preseason and launch strongly into the year. We'll go through each club, and we'll go through in alphabetical order, so if you did want to skip to your club, that gives you a little bit of an indication of where they might be, obviously starting with the Bendigo Pioneers.
Yeah, well, we'll start with Jobe Shanahan, probably at the top of the list for the Pios. And we saw right at the end of last year in that under-17s game, him in action for New South Wales ACT. He's so powerful, and that overhead ability, it's going to take him quite far, and even on grand final day, AFL grand final day last year. We know what he's capable of. It's really a matter of just building on that, and he'll only get better, you assume. So where do you think he's going to take the most opportunities this year in his football?
And it's a great question. Where is he going to take the most opportunities? Because he can play across all three lines, it sounds like. We know he can play in the forward line. We know he can play in defence as well. And we're hearing that he might get some midfield time as well. And he's such a great size to be a midfielder. He's that 193, 194 centimetre type of player. He kicks the ball so sweetly. I think that's something that's underrated about him. He's obviously got those really strong hands overhead. And he's shown that consistently. He shows it when he's leading up at the ball carrier, playing in the forward line. Like you said, we saw it with that best on ground game playing for New South Wales ACT Rams, and when he's playing in the back line as well, he's so damaging. I think it'd be a shame if he is stuck in the back line, not necessarily because he can't play that position well, but just purely from an X factor point of view, he offers so much up forward. So really looking forward to what we see from him. He's also really good below his knees, and that's something that for someone his size can sort of separate him and be a real point of difference. So he's one to keep a close eye on. And Archer Day Wick's another one who I know you've been really big on and really enjoyed watching. He's had to overcome a little bit of adversity across the last 12 to 18 months, missing the Vic Country under-16 squad. Was probably a little bit of a dagger blow. He had glandular fever he had to overcome. He missed the AFL Academy camp through illness the end of last season as well, but certainly he has got a ripping attitude, and we know that all the ingredients are there for him to shine in 2024. It's just a matter of him putting it all together.
Well, he blew me away when it was the Vic Metro Country Trials last year, where he kicked a nice little dribble from the pocket that got everyone up. But he's one that is just like, he's alive, he's got creativity, he's got that pounce on the ball, and he's dangerous. And I think especially on grand final, AFL grand final day last year, we saw that capability. He knows how to get his hands on the footy. He's just going to make it count. And once he does have that impact, he really does pack a punch. So I'm very eager to see where his football takes him, because he has so much potential. And I think there's a lot of scope with his game as well. So one I'm very, very big on.
Played some senior footy for Sandhurst as well, which is going to hold him in good stead. And a left footer always provides that little bit of point of difference when you do watch those sort of players. And then I guess the third of the big three from Bendigo is Toby Trevallia. Probably very unlucky not to get a game for Vic Country last year. We know that Vic Country didn't afford as many opportunities to the bottom ages as what Vic Metro did. But he's put on some size over the off-season, pre-season. That's very obvious when you sort of stand next to him. Obviously plays his best footy as that sort of winger half back, and he's got the excellent vision. He's quite courageous overhead for someone of his size as well. So he's someone who has got a body of work behind him already. It's probably just a matter of building on that and stringing together another consistent season of footy. The natural next step will be for him to play some really good footy during the national championships in 2024. Obviously, he'll want to start the season off for Bendigo strongly first.
Yeah, he will, and he's a real pure halfback, run and carry, gets a lot of meters gained. He's probably up there, I'd say. If they had that statistic in the talent league, he'd definitely be up there. But he punches above his weight as well, so he's not afraid to take on those bigger opponents, and he does beat them a lot. So really keen to see where his football takes him, and he was dominating in his 17s year last year. James Barrett is one I want to touch on, because we know he's had a bit of an interrupted 17s year with injury, and this year he'll be looking to take that much more further, and he's intimidating. One that you don't want to be playing on in the forward line. So tell me a bit more about why we should be looking out for James and what's next for him.
Yeah, I think next for him is being able to get that consistent run of form together, because he did only play a couple of games in his 17s year, but you don't kick seven goals in an under-16s game for Bendigo Pioneers by accident. So clearly the talent's all there. He's used the time off the field due to a navicular injury, and it's one that keeps nagging him. And it's one that he's struggling to sort of recover from, but we will definitely see him in action at some point in 2024. So I think he's one that, with how imposing he is, will be very hard to stop. He's used his time, like we say, off the field to improve his size and put on a lot of size to bulk up. And he's one who, even if he only plays sort of half a season or it takes him a little while to get back to his very best, I think that second half of the season, the club will see what he's capable of as that 193, 194 centimetre forward and want to pounce on that, because he has got very good skills and certainly has got a fair bit to offer. They're certainly talking him up in the Bendigo Pioneers region.
Lovely to hear, and hope his season does go uninterrupted, as yep. we wish for all players. Tom Evans, one to just, you know, touch on. Gutsy, got a really good defensive element. Tough player for Bendigo. One that kind of interested to see his character and sort of player development throughout the year and where his role takes him. Any interest in him?
Yeah. I think he's got an excellent understanding of the game, doesn't he? He only played the seven games last year, so he had a little bit of an injury interrupted journey as well. But what's interesting about him, and the reason I am keen to see what becomes of him, he averaged more disposals in his game throughout 2023 than any other Bendigo Pioneers player. Obviously, they had Harley Reid and a lot of hype around him. We know he's not the 30-possession player. He's not that type of player. He's more of an impact player. But I don't think you, by accident, average sort of 18, 19 possessions in your under-17s year. So he's one I'm really looking forward to seeing. And he finished the season really well as well. Kicked four goals in the wildcard game loss to the Geelong Falcons. And I think that was a real glimpse into what he can produce this season once he was able to get a few games back-to-back together.
Awesome to hear. And he's one, yeah, building into 2024 really nicely. Archie, what the last one to touch on for these Pies? And he's a big figure, pretty intimidating, and had a very good start to his 2024 preseason.
Yeah. He's one that they've sort of talked about as really impressed at the Pioneers in preseason. He reads the game really well. He's got a really efficient kick and he's really hard at it. He comes across from Oakley and he'll play in the APS competition. So he's an interesting sort of, I guess, examination for the Bendigo Pioneers to look at, because he won't train with them a whole lot. He's obviously going to be interrupted with school footy, but when he does come back to the Pioneers, I think he's one that could be really important through that midfield, so that the likes of Job Shanahan up forward when he does play up forward, and James Barrett when he's there, do get good delivery, because he's a real accumulator, he's a hunter, and he kicks it well as well.
Moving on to Dandenong Stingrays. Start with Noah Meraz, key position. He can provide a lot of contest, one that built into the end of 2023 really nicely and got a lot of game time last year as well. What more can we expect from Noah to advance his game?
Yeah, I think Noah's one who obviously made Vic Country as a 17-year-old, and there weren't many players that did do that, as we've already touched on. He looks most settled in defence, I think. He's a really athletic sort of player. So he's one who'll look to continue to use his mobility as a point of difference. He's still raw, but he's got that really good skill set, and I know the Stingrays are really high on what he's going to produce, and I guess you can see why when you do watch him, because at his size, and we know this is a draft class that doesn't have a whole lot of height about it, there's, you know, it's very midfield dominant, so having someone with his height is a real point of difference, and yeah, looking forward to seeing what he's able to produce, not just down back, but also if he's swung forward, that versatility is going to be really important for him to show different strings to his bow, and he has already shown he can play in different positions.
Harvey Laneford, we'll talk about his stoppage craft, and he's probably one that had probably one of the more dominant seasons for Dandenong last year. Just real good clean hands and knows how to impact the contest really well. Where's his game looking to advance this year? He's built really nicely. I think his skill set does really help his game.
Like you said, he's an excellent contested player, but he's also really good when he gets the ball on the outside. I think you can really trust him. If he's kicking to you inside 50, you know he's going to hit you on the lead. So he's someone who's got that really good balance, and you'd look forward to seeing. He could be, you know, one of those leaders for Dandenong. I think he captained a game last year where the leaders were out due to national championships commitments. So he's one who will be really important in that midfield, and yeah, he's not afraid to win the hardball.
probably the last one of the big three for Dandenong this year is Cooper Hines, and he's won again, got a lot of game time last year. He's got a big frame. He's not afraid in the contest. His tackling pressure is one that sort of stands out for me and one you know that will commit every time he's around the ball and can hit the scoreboard as well. So there's a bit about Cooper to like.
I think the biggest thing for me is he does hit the scoreboard, like you said. He's a midfielder forward, but even when he is running through the midfield, he's able to hit the scoreboard when his team really needs it. His dad, John, played some VFL footy for Frankston, so he does have a little bit of that understanding of what it takes and the importance of that work ethic, etc. So he's someone who has that strong build. And, yeah, will be a really important ingredient in that midfield. But also, when he goes forward, I think he'll be really hard to match up on.
We'll list a few more for Dandenong, and they really do fit into our under the radar category this year with the list they have. I'll let you kind of list through a few of them. Elwood Peckett we'll start with.
Yep, Elwood Peckett. So he's one who has trained with St Kilda over the summer. He's a St Kilda father-son prospect, his dad, playing more than 100 games for the club and has really impressed, I think, Dandenong in pre-season with the way he's been training. He's also one who will be an important ingredient down back. We've already talked about that with Noah Mraz, but I think his athleticism as well will hold him in really good stead. Elwood Peckett. You've also got Harry Doughton, a kid from Mount Eliza who I don't think we should sleep on. He's someone who got that under-17s trial match last year playing for Vic Country, which was a real significant mark of how far he has come. Coming into the Stingrays program, he probably was seen as maybe a fringe player, is probably a little bit harsh, but he's one who was probably more of a wait and see player. But yeah, it's been a really steep rise from the Mount Eliza under 17s to the Dandenong Stingrays, where not only was he able to hit the scoreboard on a consistent basis and show his really good skill execution, but he does have that real pressure inside 50 that's a point of difference, I think. So he's one who's off ball work is excellent, and it's not just his skills for him, it's also what he does when he doesn't have the ball, and that's something that can take a little bit to get used to, particularly at talent league level. When you do want the ball in your hands all the time, you do want to show what you can do. If you're to list off a couple more, Charlie Rowe played some really good footy for Halebury. He's one that can be played in the back line or the forward line, so interested to see if he's able to take another step with his footy. He's gotten a bit stronger, and Corin Gilliam's flashy and shown a little bit of excitement, so he's another one. But yeah, probably those last three or four probably in that wait and see category. Obviously they've got Mraz, Hines and Langford, who are all already showing that they do have a fair bit about them being in the Vic Country Summer Training Hub.
100%. Geelong Falcons up next, and I'll kick it off with Xavier Ivicic, who is probably my favourite bottom major to watch, along with one other we'll touch on, but he's got great offensive flair, someone who just knows how to use his legs really well, and he has that natural running power. He's got good polish as well, and he's an efficient ball user. There's actually not a lot to his game that he has to improve on as of yet, in terms of he really used his 17s year to his advantage and really took every opportunity. And I think especially the players he was around last year, like Angus Hastie, who had those similar traits on the half back line, I think he's really got a great foundation to build into 2024.
It's amazing how silky he is. Yeah, and it's amazing that he was able to translate what's clearly a natural trait for him into talent league footy as a bottom major. It can be intimidating coming in. He also had an excellent APS season, and he's really efficient by foot as well. So looking forward to seeing him take that next step. Zach McInnes, another one who showed quite a bit for Geelong. It's been a little bit of injury, though, that sort of interrupted him. So hopefully he gets a clear run at it. Obviously, the ankle sort of truncated his 2023. But a key forward, and a key forward that's got a big frame and will be hard to stop in 2024 if he does reach his best.
Well, I was pretty adamant, especially the first 4 weeks of last year. He would have been up there with probably the top 10, 15 players in those first 4 weeks in the Talent League last year. He's got great power. His legs can drive him out, and every lead he makes, he takes a mark there, and he's also very efficient. He knows how to hit the scoreboard. It's just general contested capability that he knows so well that I think without injury last year, there was every chance he could have pushed for a Vic Country team at that age. So I'm very excited to see where his football takes him this year. Still a lot of polish to to be done with his game, but there's a lot to like there.
Fitness too, probably building that fitness space so he can empty out a little bit more as well. But yeah, I certainly think there's a lot of upside with him. Kobe George, another one. Last year was his first year in the system as a defender, so a big rise for him. And he looks really comfortable in that native halfback position where he's played a lot of his junior footy. He did get thrown about a bit positionally, but where he looked most comfortable was when he did get that string of games together off the half back line and then got that under 17s trial. Again, similar to what we talked about with Harry Doughton, a real nod to how far he has come. He's an unassuming character and he's balanced both ways, but he's able to shut down and he's really calm and composed.
River Stevens, one I want to touch on, father son this year, great one-on-one player. Small forward, he just protects his space really well. He's clean, got pace and great sideways movement as well, just in that forward 50, knows how to run his opponent around. So very excited. Play some good football at the back end of 2023.
Yeah, one for North Melbourne fans to get excited about. The son of Anthony Stevens and that good football at the back end of 2023 did earn him that under-17s trial as well. And Josh Sanders, he's got a high-level athletics background, so that's something that he'll look to, I guess, show on the footy field, because we know how important athleticism and power is in the modern game. So he can play in a couple of positions. I think you'll see him a little bit off half back, might run through the midfield as well. He's solidly built, and you notice that when you look at him. He has played some senior footy and he would be able to stand up to the brutish nature of that. But it's his explosiveness that he'll really want to show and prove that he's not sort of a one-pace midfielder, because he's certainly got the different gears to go through with that athletics background. He's got the spring as well. So he's someone who is one just to keep an eye on with that athleticism. And Noah Tulio is one that I know you've watched. So he's a sort of smaller player. And he's an excellent runner as well, and played in Newton and Chilwell's senior grand final last year and got best on ground. So if you look at him and know how small he is, he'd be less than 170 centimetres, then you know how big an effort it is for him to play such good senior footy. Certainly, he's one that impressed in his talent league opportunities last year.
100%. He took every opportunity he had, and he has great pressure. He's one that doesn't shy away from the contest and knows how to hunt the footy really, really well. So pretty excited to see where his footy takes him. And two other names I think just list off here and worth mentioning. Lockie Jakes. Now, it is Jakes. We did ask him this question. Yes. Now, J-A-C-Q-U-E-S.
Is Jacques, but there's no C. There's no C in the name.
There's no C there. So it's Jake. So we'll run with that this year. And Jack Henderson. We're with Lockie, Silky, great aerial ability. So and Jack, we're looking to see where he takes his midfield time this year. We'll move on now to the Gippsland Power, and I'll let you kick this off with Xavier Lindsay, who we've seen quite a good bit of, and natural footballer generally, and great vision. Loved his AFL Grand Final day, absolutely loved it. Just his kicking in general, he just knew where to get that ball every time, and really good footy IQ.
Yeah, he's a smooth mover. I think we've talked about him quite a lot. I've been high on him for 12 months now, if not more. He was obviously really, really important in that under-16s Vic Country side. He made a name for himself as that wing half-back, but he stood up to the pressure of going into the midfield last year. Not only stood up to it, but actually rose to the responsibility and showed his contested craft. So I think that second half of last season was outstanding. Obviously played a really good game in that under-17s Vic Country trial, and has that really good understanding of the game as well. He runs and runs. His ball use is spectacular. So I think he's one that can really set up the game for Gippsland wherever he plays. He's got that versatility to him now. So he's one who is a big watch for 2024. I think he could take a few people by surprise. Not that he hasn't already made a name for himself, but I think he could take that next step again with that midfield exposure he has already got. Ricky Mentha, the other one in the AFL Academy from the Gippsland Power, I know he's one that you're very high on. He's a live-wire small forward. He'll play for the Northern Territory in the first month. Obviously, being from the Northern Territory, his family moved down to, or he moved down with his dad to Druin last year, and he'll then link up with Gippsland for the rest of the season. But yeah, I know you're really excited about what he offers with that electricity in the forward line.
I'd argue that he has the most electricity in this year's small forwards crop, and I know you look at Isaac Kakko as your other small forward option, but I think they're both terrific. But Ricky just has natural goal sense. Out of any kind of forward 50 stoppage, he knows where to run and get the footy. First hands on it when it's received down, and just knows how to find the goals. And he knows how to kick them. And I'll take you again back to AFL Grand Final day. First shot, 35 metres out, deep in the pocket. He nails it, absolutely nails it. This is just a kid who knows how to find the goals and just knows how to run his opponent around and win the footy relentlessly. So I'm very big on him, and I think he's got scope as well. He's got pace. You could put him further up the ground and he'd make a really good impact. So he'd have to be up there as my top small forward, but, you know, Isaac Kakko a close second in that race.
Yeah, I'd still put Isaac Kakko ahead of him just because I think he's a little bit more developed. I think there's a little bit more rawness to Ricky Mentha still, and I think Isaac Kakko is one who hasn't had to use the summer to really develop that small forward craft. It's I guess, taking that next step with that defensive ability, and that's something you'll probably see shine through in his game a little bit more in 2024, and he'll get some midfield minutes as well. Ricky Mentha's more skinnily built than Isaac Kakko. So Isaac Kakko, like we say, might go into some centre bounce or might get some centre bounce attendances, whereas Ricky Mentha, you're probably more restricted having to put him on a wing just with how skinnily he is built. But certainly he's one to get excited about. And I think he has already played a game on the wing for Gippsland from memory. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see if he does get that opportunity again. And then there's some others from Gippsland as well to list off. So Max Donoghue was really consistent throughout 2023. He'll get a Vic Country trial at least, I would think, if he's able to continue that form on 15 games, averaging 16 touches. Max Stobie's one who provides drive and has got a little bit of a turn of speed. I think he plays his best footy off halfback. And Julian Callahan, in a similar vein, he's sort of an outside player. He's got a bit of athleticism. He's played 12 games. So Gippsland have got a few there below those two, you know, top players who will all challenge to take the next step with their footy in 2024.
Move to the GWV Rebels, and this is a team last year that with that bottom age talent could have made the grand final. They went out, I think, 2 weeks before, but had a terrific season, a lot of their bottom ages. And you start from the top with Sam Lawler, who just played terrifically in 2023. And the opportunities he had as a bottom ager in that Vic Country side, he took them, especially in WA. It was terrific. Yep. He's just a real pure power mid, and he could be up there with one of the best power mids in the competition this year. Just has real composure with the ball in hand. His ball skills are really good. Just knows how to find a clean handball out of congestion, and the ball moves forward really well, and has the potential to play as a deep forward option this year. So kind of like Dustin Martin type role, dare I say. So he's really got that versatility and really excited to see where his football takes him.
Can I make a statement about Sammy Lawler? And I know you've watched a bit more of him than on what I have, but of players that are either in the AFL Academy, the Vic Country Hub, or the Vic Metro Hub, I think he's the cleanest and most polished player below his knees in the crops. So I think that's a real point of difference. I think that's something that is going to really separate him. It buys him that little bit of extra time as well. But certainly they bat a lot deeper than just Sam Lawler. Yep. They've probably got the strongest team on paper of all the Vic Country sides, I would argue. Jonty Fall is one who's really good as a hit up forward and got good hands.
100%. He doesn't usually drop his marks, and he knows how to take them in all different weird ways, which is something I learned pretty quickly last year. But yeah, he's very powerful, knows how to use his legs well. I would say he plays above his size. Even though he's grown to 196, he was kind of at that 191, 192 height last year, but he knows how to get his hands up and kind of beat those taller opponents. I guess this year it's working on his technical side of the game, but there's a lot to love there with Jonty, probably one of the better tall forwards and half tall, half power forward this year. So, yeah, exciting with Jonty.
Finished the season really strongly as well, I think, last season. Had a really good last month of the year. Then you've also got Ollie Hannaford, who's physical and quick and versatile, which are all ingredients that bode well if you want to get drafted.
Well, the one thing with Ollie that stood out last year, and there were a few games, he took on the role of Harley Reid whenever they played Bendigo and did a really good job on him as well. So that was a big task that he took on in his bottom age year. But, yeah, he can take on all kind of roles as well. He'll play some time in the forward line. He knows how to play that half-back role and that midfield role he knows well. So a lot of versatility there with him. He's got real good toughness to his game.
Yep.
General speed ability. So high-energy player, high impact. Would love to see where his footy takes him. But he's one that can do so many different roles on the footy field that is, I reckon, definitely undervalued at this point in time. But that the reality will set in very quickly that he's probably one of the best at doing every single role on the football field in a good way. So very excited.
And I think that's true in terms of undervalued, or I think that's true in terms of he's under, you know, that hype is real inside the four walls of GWV, but yeah, certainly some people outside of those four walls are also starting to talk about him because of what he was able to produce in 2023. Rhys Unwin is one who will be really important inside 50. We know they had Lockie Charleston last year, the GWV Rebels, as that really crafty crumbing forward. Rhys Unwin, not necessarily exactly the same player, but certainly the same sort of goal sense and craft inside 50, and yeah, will be as impactful on the scoreboard, I would assume, as Lockie.
Well, we learnt with Lockie that it only takes a few games to really show how impactful you can be, and that can be enough to get you drafted sometimes. But he's explosive. He knows how to lead well, but I think he's different to Lockie in the sense that Lockie played a bit more midfield time, but Rhys just generally pushes up in his game, and he knows how to impact the contest a bit further up the ground and outside of their 50. So I think that probably the next step with his game, because we know he'll impact the scoreboard, he knows how to find the footy inside 50, just building that defensive side a bit more and knowing how to shut down inside 50, yep, because when it's not landing his way, he struggles a little bit to get the football back in his hands and, you know, get things back on his terms. So once he builds that defensive side, there's a lot to love with him. And yeah, you do see the very similar comparisons to Lockie Charleston in the way they play.
And just on Lockie Charleston, we'll talk about Harry Charleston, his brother, and one that, yeah, has certainly captured a little bit of attention as well in the Rebels region.
Different players, 100%. Yep. Harry has a lot more height than Lockie, and a really nice kick off half back. Has the endurance, but this year we'll see a lot of him in the midfield. So there's a good bit of scope with him. So different players. Don't expect what you had with Lockie with Harry. Two different players. But yeah, love to see what Harry brings this year. So there's a lot to learn with his football still.
And Flynn Penry, who we've listed off sixth, I think, in this list of players. That's not to say he's the sixth best Rebel. He's obviously in that Vic Country squad and competing with Zach Harding probably for that number one ruck mantle when they do play their first game later this season. We know how important height is in this draft class. And I know I keep saying it, but it's because the trend speaking to people in the industry is that any height, you know, people want to have a really good look at because it is so sort of midfield dominant. But yeah, he's one who did get a fair bit of exposure last year, averaged 17 hitouts and 10 disposals per game.
Yeah, well, he's strong and mobile, and he knows how to use his frame pretty well. I guess in terms of using that frame well, it still is executing those roles with his height more, and that's just dominating a few more of those contests to get the ball working his way still. So still a lot to be developed with him. I think there's, you know, the potentially turns into that kind of Lockie Smith type role that we, you know,
yeah,
you
right,
loved.
Okay.
You loved watching last year, who you'd argue Lockie could be put on a win and you wouldn't even question him apart from his height, that he was that good with the ball outside of just general ruck contest. Yep. So, yeah, there's a lot of development still to go with him, as there is with a lot of rucks at this time, yep, of the year and just generally at that age. So a lot to like with Flynn, and his season will progress really nicely.
Yeah, no, absolutely. We'll move on to the Murray Bush Rangers now. And the really obvious name to touch on first here is Ollie Warburton. He's one who will juggle playing for Caulfield, you would assume playing for Vic Country, and also playing for the Murray Bush Rangers as well. He trains with the Sandringham Dragons when he is down boarding at Caulfield Grammar. He's one who has really clean hands and is probably one who I talked about, Sam Lawlow. He's probably in that similar vein in that he's really good below his knees and would probably rival him in terms of Vic Country hub, who's cleaner below their knees. But his contested craft is another real big weapon of his. He's one who, when he's in the contest, he knows where to stand, he knows how to structure up, plays to structure up really well, and I think he'll show his wares both at school footy level, but I expect he's going to become a really important player for Murray this season. We know he's already shown a fair bit in his bottom age year, and that's going to set him up really well. So, yeah, excited to see what we get from Ollie Warburton, because he's got an important role to play in the Bushies midfield.
Move to the Whitlocks, the two identical twins, and yep, and which we had the opportunity to meet both of them a couple of weeks ago, and they truly are identical.
Yes.
And
yep,
the way we learnt them was one had a black hat, one had a white hat, Jack in black.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah,
they really are that identical. We'll start with Jack, who, yeah, famously kicked that winning goal after the siren in the under-17s game last year, which, head to our socials if you want to see that. That got a very good crowd reaction there. But yeah, he's that typical tall forward. He's strong, knows how to use his arms overhead, and he's built good size as well. So definitely built into his frame really nicely.
Yeah, he is building into his frame nicely. Obviously, you know, clubs are still willing enough to take someone who's raw and back someone, like we say, like you said about Flynn Penry, yeah. Take someone who has got that rawness but is clearly developable, but he has put on size over the offseason. That's really obvious when you look at him. And, yeah, I think you've summed him up really well. He'll pinch it in the ruck a little bit, yeah. And I think you'll see him go down back when Matt Whitlock goes up forward. So Matt Whitlock's the defender. Jack Whitlock's probably been more seen as the forward at this stage, but they'll get thrown around because that ability to swing both ends is you know going to hold them both in really good stead, and certainly they've both played all their junior footy together, and having each other to sort of bounce off would no doubt be a big factor in their rise. We'll talk about Matt Whitlock, who, yeah, out of the back line, yeah, similar traits, knows how to shut down, backs himself overhead like Jack does, but I think he's also a good user of the ball. And the other thing about both of them is they move really well. Yeah. We saw that last year. Yes, they've put on size, but I still think they have the capacity to be really polished and have the ability to be, I guess, able to move through traffic and set up the game really well, whether that's from the back line or in the forward line.
Both have good skill sets, and it's nice that they both play different positions, so they get good practice on each other most of the time. Move to Josh Murphy, who played on AFL Grand Final day and got a bit of opportunity towards the end of that game. Strong power forward, so a lot of development left in his game, but he's definitely got the frame and the size to execute that role really well.
Yeah, he does. He does indeed. And Braden George was a former Murray Bush Ranger, and he's one who he's been compared to in that sort of region of the world. He's sort of 192, 193 centimetres, can play forward, but will also go through the midfield at different stages this year. And I think it's his ability to get separation on the lead. So he's got that little bit of speed and explosiveness as well, which is going to hold him in really good steady. He comes up at the ball carrier well, presents well, and then is able to then execute well in terms of taking a really strong mark. So his jukes are really good.
We'll move to Zach Harding.
Yeah.
He, again, like you said, he'll be fighting for that primary ruck role at Vic Country level with Flynn Penry. What separates those two? What are the differences, and what is it with Zach Harding that will get him that push to that number one role?
Yeah, well, I think he's a really physical ruck. So you talked about Flynn Penry as being that, I guess, modern ruck in terms of he's able to get involved around the ground. He's able to be really good with his possession. He's able to move. He's able to be important in terms of taking a mark down the line and then actually being able to see where to move it to and have that footy IQ as well. I think Zach Harding's more the player who's going to really dominate you and bruise you in the ruck contests. He's played some really high-end senior footy up there. We know how well-regarded that league is in Victoria, and he's played that pretty consistently when he hasn't been playing for Murray, and, yeah, had some good form behind him. He's the son of former AFL player Dean, who's now involved in coaching up in the Murray Bush Rangers region. So I think for him it's just about developing that side of his game in terms of having that athleticism. He is a little bit bigger than Flynn, so he has grown into his frame a little bit more, which is why he is able to compete in senior footy, whereas he doesn't necessarily have the same level of athleticism. It's not to say he doesn't. He's actually reasonably okay for his size, but probably becoming that player who can be involved around the ground and you trust that if he had the ball, he's going to hit you and make the right decision is the next step in his game.
A few more to list off, although Murray have a good list this year.
It's good to see.
They've got a few, it's got some depth. So exciting to see where their football takes us. But one that you loved watching last year, and you brought up pretty early in the season, I think it was when they played Geelong at Avalon, Darby Wilson. I'd love you to expand on his game because he's one that, really took into his 17th year and built some nice football resume, especially leading up to this time of year.
He's got genuine speed, Darcy Wilson, and he's able to shut down. So he's really competitive, and he loves being one-on-one, and he's really hard to beat one-on-one. So I remember that game, obviously, out at Avalon. That was where he put his name on the map, beating Tom Anastasopoulos and keeping him really quiet. And that pretty much changed the course. I know he got drafted. He's now at Port Adelaide, Tom Anastasopoulos. But that first month of Tom Anastasopoulos' season, outstanding. And then after playing on Darby Wilson, he probably didn't have the same level of consistency or scoreboard impact. I'm not saying Darby Wilson, changed the course of his season, but certainly he played a really good game on him and had that selfless role. He also played on Seb Amoroso, a very different sort of forward, probably a little bit bigger in terms of his frame, a little bit stronger, and he was still able to shut him down and played a half on Isaac Kakko before he injured his hamstring, which sort of ruled him out of the back end of the Talent League season and played really well in Isaac Kakko. So three small forwards that are really well regarded. Amoroso now on a VFL list. We know Kakko is one who we expect will be taken at the end of the year and is already well regarded and already shown that he can kick seven goals on a day. So he's one who has been able to shut down those sort of players, but he's got the ability to, I guess, expand on his game by becoming a little bit more offensive and showing a little bit more of that flair with that speed. So can he provide that drive off halfback and set the game up? Because we know he builds his game off the back of his defence. He's one that I've really enjoyed watching, and he's played some senior footy for Euroa as well.
Three others to list off, and two especially we've heard good pre-season notes about. Colin Paul, Ruben Burke, Alex Swinnerton, love you to touch on and give us a bit more of a profile on those boys.
Yeah, Colin Paul. So, yeah, I mean, the thing with Murray is they've got a fair bit of height, and that's something that a lot of clubs are really struggling with. So you've got the Whitlocks, you've got Zach Harding, and then you've got Colin Paul, who's sort of 192, 193 as well. So, yeah, he's trimmed his 2K time trial time down significantly. He's put on a fair bit of size, and he's one who played a bit up forward for Murray when he was in the team last year, but I think he's going to get some time in the midfield this year from everything we're hearing. He's really powerful. He's another one who played seniors for Euroa, so a local teammate of Darby Wilson's. Alex Swinnerton is one who's Allies regent. He's a very small forward, but, you know, would have probably got a lot of, you know, enjoyment from seeing someone like Nick Watson really thrive last season. He's not the same vein of player as Nick Watson just yet. Whether he builds to that level or not, that remains to be seen. But he did get a 17th trial for New South Wales ACT last year. And then you've also got, like you said, you've got Will McCarthy, who is from the same junior club as Darcy Wilson and will be looking to make the wing position his own. And Ruben Burke, who's a tall defender who hasn't played a game yet, new to the program, but has impressed a lot of people. So, and again, some height for Murray. So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they go this season because they've obviously top end. They're probably a little bit less established than some of their Vic Country counterparts, but then they've got a lot of players who could really push. So, and they have already confirmed their list. They confirmed their list, I think, first out of all the Vic Country teams a couple of weeks ago. So, yeah. Some excitement.
Eager to see where they take their footy this year. And the last team of the country teams, the one team not in Victoria, obviously Tasmania. So, yeah, look, Tassie always do well, don't they? They always seem to be up the top of the table come the end of the year, and they always produce really good talent. So excited to see where they take their footy. But we'll touch on one that was featured on AFL Grand Final day was Ollie Dean, tall ruck.
Yeah, so a raw and developing ruck. He averaged 12 hitouts last year, sharing the ruck duties with Max Mapley. He'll be doing that again this year. Max Mapley's returning as a 19-year-old. We will do a separate episode on the returning 19-year-olds, who to watch out for at the mid-season draft, who's gone on to state league lists. So stay tuned for that episode. But Ollie Dean's certainly one who, with his upside, is really, really going to be an important ingredient for Tassie, given the height that he's got, and given the, I guess, skill set that he's got, his ability to when he does get the ball, actually make the right decisions. He doesn't get a lot of the footy. That'll probably be the next step for him, getting a little bit more of the footy in his hands. They've also got Oli Dipoli Qbank, who's reasonably skinny, but he's quick. He's just run a 2K PB in pre-season, so that's really good for him and shows that he's been putting in the work over the break. And I think he finished last season really strongly as well in Tassie's finals campaign, which ultimately fell a couple of steps short in prelim final week. And then they've got Lenny Douglas as well, who plays with flair, another one who finished really well last season and was a real staple of that Tassie lineup. He only averaged the 9 touches in those 14 games, but he's sort of one of those, and I know it's a phrase you liked using a lot last year, but he's an impact per possession player. He feels like he has more than 9 touches if you watch him.
I want to talk about the two Lim boys, Connor and Liam, who are both very similar players, and I both like to label them as opportunistic, the way they play their footy. They don't waste the football, and they're two boys that love to run and gun, especially with it. So I think they have the capabilities to push forward this year and make a statement with their name. I think it's where the versatility is with them. Can you put them higher up the ground, put them down back? So I'm interested to see where their football lies, but they've definitely got traits in their games that do make them attractive in the way they play.
Professional and sort of ultimate teammates, ultimate clubmen, the things that come through with both of them. And I think you'll see that they will get midfield minutes, and we'll list off a couple more from Tassie in Harry Ulmer, who's excellent contest defence player, and he'll look to provide drive out of the back line. That'll probably be the next step for him to do it really consistently, because if he's one-on-one, you'd back him. And Marty Brereton, who, similar vein to Harry Ulmer, probably a little bit bigger, and he played reasonably in his 11 games last year, but looks ready to take the next step. From what we're hearing, all reports are that he's had a really strong preseason in the Apple Isle.
Well, that about wraps it up. So that is episode 2 done. And like I said, if you haven't already, go check out our first episode if you want to hear the same about the Vic Metro boys next week. Moving on to the girls, we'll start with Vic Metro girls next week. So make sure to tune into that, because a lot of talent coming through the female pathway. So please stay tuned for that. A lot of content on our socials, as we always mention, so please go check that out. We've built our content list this year. There's a lot to go out this year and a lot of fun stuff. So if you just want to see the players having a bit of fun sometimes, and please head over to our socials. Always appreciated. So thank you all for joining. Make sure to tune in next Wednesday to hear about the Vic Metro girls. And until then, we will see you next week.